Today, I'm going to talk to you about the elements of survival, okay? So the survival rule is, it's called the survival rule of three, or the rules of threes. Has anybody ever heard of that? So the rules of three goes like this. It's a rule of thumb that describes the basic survival rules using the number three. And you can look at it like this. The rule says that you can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. That's the rule of survival, okay? The threes. Over the past couple of months, we've explored how the Lord has used the four classical elements that he created, by the way. Somebody say amen to that. The Lord created those elements. He uses those for his purpose and for his glory, okay? So I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to share with you today, because this is powerful. It's a word from the Lord. It's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he's going to speak it through me to our hearts, that it will forever change us. If you're sitting here today and you think, I don't need to change anymore, I'm just like Jesus, wrong. Right? Everybody has areas. Everybody has places, and we need to be open to him and say, Lord, change me today. Can you just say that? Say, Lord, change me today to be more like you. Okay, that's what he's going to do if you're open to it. You ready? So this week I'm going to show you how Father God has created us, human beings, with all four elements in our bodies and in our spirits. Okay? He created us that way. The imagery used in the Word of God shows the spiritual usage of all four classical elements. In other words, these four classical elements are the elements of survival, both physically and spiritually. Okay? And so the elements of survival are important for us to see for both. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we're created in the image of God. But it's important for us to understand that our spirit woman is created in the image of God, not our physical bodies necessarily, okay? It's our spirit man. Let me show you another scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:44. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as, say it, spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. So right now, in this place, every one of us have a natural body, okay? But you also have a spiritual body living on the inside, all right? The spiritual body is actually who you are. Amen? It's more who you are than this physical body is. In fact, it is who you are. The physical body is just the transport. It's just the vessel. It's just the clay jar, okay, that is carrying who you really are, all right? And I could go off on a whole long another sermon on this, and I feel it right now in my spirit because so many people, I'm not going to do it. Don't encourage me. I could go off on a whole nother sermon, though, of how we spend so much time on the wrong person, on the wrong body, on the wrong shell, right? We spend so much time trying to get this to look good, and we neglect what really is important. And we see it all the time. And the world is just shouting it from the rooftops. The world is declaring it everywhere. Everywhere you go, the world is saying, this is what's important. This is what's important. The world is so focused on the outward appearance, on this thing that's going to go right back to the dirt. And the world doesn't see that what's really important and who you really are is on the inside. Amen? Is the spirit that God created. So we are created in the image of God. In his image we were created. Male and female, we were created. Spirit men, okay? So let me give you these four elements. I'm going to start with the first one, earth. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." So here we see that we were formed from, what is it? Dirt. We were formed from dirt, okay? We are created from the dust of the ground, the Bible says. Genesis 3:19 says, "By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. In case you were, you know, well, does that really mean ground? Ground, dirt. This is what we were made from, all right? For you were made from the dust, and to the dust you will return. Our bodies are made from this dirt. This physical body we have was created from this dirt. Now, is there anybody that would refute that? No, everybody knows that's true. How many of you know that's true? Raise your hand if you know that's true. Amen. Right? We know it. Because when this physical body dies and we've seen it, okay, we don't need scientific proof because we have the Word of God. Amen, amen to that. Amen. Right? If you're waiting for scientific proof, then you don't have faith. Okay? So we don't need it, but we know it's true that when this body dies, this shell, it's going to go right back to the dirt. Okay? Don't put preservatives in it and see what happens. Amen? Okay? So we know it's true. But we also have a spirit that's created in the image of God. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, the scriptures tell us that the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like earthly man, and heavenly people are like heavenly man. Just as we know that now we are like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Amen to that. Okay? So the Lord desires to work through earth, desires to work through his, you know, created image to accomplish his will here in earth. Amen? Look, let me show you. Matthew 6:10. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. You all know this. You've seen it before. You've read it. You've even prayed it. This is how you should pray. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? How many of you have prayed that at least once in your life? The Lord's Prayer. Okay. I would venture to say that most of you don't even realize what you're praying there, what you're asking for. Okay? Let me show it to you. The word earth is the Greek word ge. And that, yeah, that's it, ge. It's G-E, you know, with the little thing, okay? And it's different from the word world. When he says earth here, he's not talking about world. It's different. But many people mistakenly use the two interchangeably. So when they pray this prayer, Father, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth, the world, as it is in heaven, right? That's not what he's talking about, because this word, earth, actually means something different than world, okay? I'll show it to you in a second. And what's wrong with that anyway? What's wrong with praying that way? Well, when we mistakenly pray, Lord, just do your will on this earth, well, that, because we depersonalize it, okay? It becomes, Lord, bless this earth and bless this world and take care of it. And we depersonalize, we detach from that a little bit. We're not praying, Lord, do something here, right? Where is where we need to start. Okay, John 16:33, look at the scripture. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that you may be, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He uses the word world there twice. That word is the Greek word cosmos, and it means orderly arrangement. Okay? So when he was saying that you will have trouble, okay, or tribulation in this world, he means in the orderly arrangement of things, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, there's going to be trials. There's going to be things in this world. Anybody can testify to that, that you've had a trial or two in this world. Amen. All right? So you're going to have difficulties and troubles in this world. But he says, take heart, I have overcome this world. In other words, guess who is in charge of the orderly arrangement on this planet? Jesus. Amen? He's in charge. He's overcome the world. He has authority over the world. Okay, so we need to understand that. But watch, the word earth, ge, in the Greek, literally means ground or soil. Okay, that's what it means. It means earth. So when you read this scripture, let me give it to you in the King James Version, Matthew 6:10, KJV. It says, thy kingdom come, Jesus said, thy will be done. Watch this, in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying that you should pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It always starts here. It always starts personal. All right? And this lines up with Scripture. And I'm certainly not saying don't pray for the world. Absolutely pray for the world. But first, pray that God's will would be done here in this earth as it is in heaven. In other words, when you're saying that, when you're saying, God, let your kingdom come and your will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven, then you're asking him to bring all of heaven, everything that he desires in you personally. And if he brings all of heaven in this, okay, in you, then all the stuff of the enemy is going to get pushed out. It cannot remain. When heaven comes rushing in, the things of earth have to go. When heaven comes in, when the Spirit of the living God comes in, then the spirit of the enemy has to get out. Amen? Light and darkness cannot coexist. Right? When light comes into the room, darkness flees. So when you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in earth, that means you're praying in me. And then when you get that straight, then pray for the world. Amen? Jesus said it like this. He said, would you get the plank out of your own eye before you try to remove the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye? And I can give you scripture after scripture where he's talking about starts with you. Pray, begin with you, okay? That his will would be done. Physically, this earth, everybody point to yourself, tap yourself, this is earth. Physically, this earth cannot survive without food, without bread. Amen? Amen. Come on. Can't survive without bread. Oh, thank you, Lord, for bread. Amen. How many of you like some bread? Let me describe it for you. It's that fresh loaf of bread, right, that you get fresh baked just out of the oven, crusty on the outside, warm and soft on the inside, and you get that good butter, all right? Don't you go get that. I can't believe it's not butter. Don't you dare. Go get that. You go get the good butter, straight from the cow, all right? And listen, and don't you slice paper thin on that butter. You put a big old chunk in that bread, and then you put another piece of bread on top of it and let it just melt all in there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, it's pretty bad when you guys get louder about this than you did what I just said earlier. That's wrong. I see y'all laughing back there. And now I've just lost you for the rest of the sermon, right? You're just going to be thinking about this bread because you know it's good. Man, it's good. And then you just, oh, the aroma, right? And we just crave it. We desire it. We need it. We try to avoid it because we say carbs are bad for you. Bologna. Oh, bologna on some fresh bread. Oh, man. I just, fried bologna on some fresh bread. Can I get a witness? Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I just went off the rails. We need food. This earth needs food. But spiritually, the spirit inside of me cannot survive without food, without the bread of heaven. We have to have the bread of heaven in order to survive. In the same way that we will die without food, this earthly earthen vessel, the same way our spirit man will die without the bread of heaven. Okay? Jesus said this in John 6:57. He said, I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. And Jesus is saying right here, yeah, you need that earthly bread to survive, in this earthly body to survive, but more importantly, you need the bread from heaven so that your spirit will survive. It's more important that you feed your spirit than you feed your body. Come on, somebody say amen to that. How about that fresh bread that comes down from heaven, right? That warm bread from heaven that's way better than any earthly bread you ever had. Amen? That bread is more important than the earthly bread. Amen. See, I need him. Come on, I need him. I need him. My spirit needs the bread from heaven. This earth will pass away, but the spirit will live forever. This earth is going to go back to this ground, but the spirit's going to live forever. This earth only lasts a short time. The Bible says it's but a mist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But this spirit, the word of the Lord doesn't say that about your spirit. The word of the Lord says your spirit will live forever. I need him in my spirit. I need the bread of heaven to keep me alive. I can only thrive if I have the spirit of the living God inside of me. I need him. Okay, number two, water. Water. Up to 70% of the human body, the adult body, is made up of water. Amen to that? Somebody take a drink of your water. You need it because you know you don't drink enough. The brain and the heart are composed of 73% water. The lungs are about 83% water. The skin contains 64% water. The muscles and kidneys are about 79% water. And even most bones are watery. About 31% water. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's interesting that our bodies are made up of that much water. We must have water to survive. Go 4 days without water and you'll be in trouble. Amen? Any nurses in this place can testify, doctors, yeah. You go 4 days without water, you'll be in trouble, okay? And I can tell you, in fact, I will say this, I know Sabrina's a nurse, I'll say this to nurses, how many patients I wonder coming to the hospital, you know, in fact, when you go into the hospital, you know, and they admit you, you know the first thing, even when they don't admit you, you know the first thing they do? IV, right? They put an IV in you. And one of the reasons they do that is because most of the time when we go into the hospital, one, most of the time we're a little dehydrated, okay, if not a lot dehydrated. We don't have enough water. Right? And we don't realize that. Because I can tell you, you can't just drink things that are made up of water or made with water. Okay? Oh, did y'all catch the spiritual thing? I'm going to get there in a minute. Don't jump ahead of me. But you can't just drink things that are made from water. You got to drink fresh water. Amen? Pure water. And I can testify to this and talk to you about this for a moment because I grew up with two parents who thought drinking a pot of coffee, three pots of coffee all day long was drinking water. Anybody else know what I'm talking about from that generation? Can I just pause right here at this moment when I'm talking about that generation and say it's Bill Forbes' birthday today. Could you give Bill just a... Now, I was planning on doing this at the end, but I just thought I'll do it right now since I'm talking about that generation. Because, you know, he goes way, 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 way back. Somebody gave him a card today. His relatives, Jim and Teresa, gave him a card today. And on the card, it went, I promise you, when he started opening the card, I said, is Methuselah on that card? That's what I said jokingly. And he pulled it out in three Bible characters on the front of that card. I'm not kidding you. I thought, that is so good. It's the joke that keeps on giving right there. I've been telling this joke for 12 years, a little over 12 years, actually. And did you know that when I first started telling this joke, and everybody's caught on, everybody calls him the old man of the church, but Bill's 74 years old today, all right? Did you know when I started telling this joke, he was 62. I will be 62 in 3 years. When I realized that this morning, I felt terrible in the pit of my stomach right there. The joke does not get old. Just Bill Forbes gets older and older and older. Tomorrow is Debbie's birthday. Yeah. Now, Debbie is about 50 years younger than Bill, so she's fine. But my parents used to put a pot of coffee on in the morning like a lot of people do. But that pot would stay on until they finished it, and then they'd put another pot on. And then another pot, and then another pot. And guess what they would have with dinner, with supper, a cup of coffee? Yeah. You know, we as kids had to have milk, but they got to drink coffee, you know. So I just think it's interesting that so later on in life, you know, that's the pattern they were in, and they thought drinking coffee was water because it was made with water, you know. But it's not. You can't just drink things that are made with water and think you're drinking water or you're getting what you need in your body. And this is really important for just in just a second. And spiritually, it's the same way. We need to understand that same thing, right? Spiritually, we must have water or we will die spiritually, okay? And it can't just be anything that masquerades as water. It has to be the real, living water, all right? It has to be the living water. You know, the enemy will take a little bit of truth and he'll mix it with something else for the purpose of deceiving us to thinking it's truth. Did you hear what I just said? The enemy will take a little bit of truth and he'll mix it with something else, a bunch of lies, for the purpose of deceiving us to think it's truth. But can I tell you that if it's not all truth, then it's not truth at all? Amen? If it's not all truth, then it's not truth at all. All right? It has to be the whole truth, the word of the living God. Rightly divided. It cannot be a little bit of truth and what the enemy wants to mix with it. Jesus said this in John 4:14. He said, but those who drink the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. There are a lot of options out there, but I promise you, these options out there, they promise to hydrate you. They promise to give you everything you need spiritually, but there's only one who can give you what you really need spiritually, and that's Jesus, the Son of the living God. He's the living water. There's a lot of options that promise that they'll do it for you, and you know what I'm talking about. If you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, if you'll just, you know, go to this and go to that and practice this and practice that, you'll have peace inside. There's nothing else in this entire world that can give you peace inside but the living water, Jesus, the Son of a God. Amen? He's the only one. It's the only thing that can give you eternal peace. John 7:38, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me may come to me and drink, for the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Rich Willett did a great job of speaking about this just a few weeks ago, talking about the water. And I loved when he had the illustration that he had down front. And I especially loved that he had Sidney holding, you know, that, and he was pouring into it, into the vessel. And what was happening as he was pouring, it was getting on her. You know, what we don't understand sometimes, and what we forget, maybe we knew it, but we forgot about it, is that as things are being poured into us, it's going to overflow and it's going to get on somebody else. So whatever you're drinking is going to overflow. It's going to come out of you. And it's going to get on somebody else. What's coming out of you? I'll tell you what's coming out, whatever's going in. And is it the pure living water of the Spirit of God, or is it mixed with some other things so that when it comes out of you, that's getting on other people and it's affecting them as well? You think that just because it's your life and what you're doing, you think whatever you're taking in and whatever you're filling yourself full of, you think it's just about you, but it's not just about you. Whatever you're filling yourself full of is going to get on somebody else. It's going to get on your family. It's going to get on your loved ones. It's going to get on your coworkers. It's going to get on your neighbors. Whatever's going in is going to get on other people. So it's not just about you. It has to be the living water of the Son of God, because then when it comes out of you, that living water, it's alive. It will cause them to come alive. Amen? So you have to understand that. The third thing is the wind. I want to talk about the wind for a second. When we think of wind, we usually think of the thing, you know, the wind that blows through the trees and moves the clouds and all of that, right? I mean, how many of you love a windy day? Anybody love a windy day? My wife loves windy days. She loves to be out in the wind when the wind's blowing, and it's just so wonderful to have that refreshing, especially on a hot summer day like yesterday. Yesterday was hot, wasn't it? And if a nice breeze comes by, especially off the lake, isn't that beautiful? Okay, so that's the wind, but the wind can also be breath. You know, I really didn't know what to do for this, but you know, if you take glass and you breathe, did you see that fog up? And you can, so all of a sudden you can see The wind. I was saying this at the beginning of this message. Our physical bodies were created with all four of these classical elements. I just told you about earth. Then I told you about water. 70% of our body is made up of water. Now we also have the wind inside of us. The wind of God is in us. Let me show you this. Genesis 2:7, same scripture that I used at the beginning. Then God, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Without his breath in your lungs, you cannot survive physically. Amen? We cannot survive. We know that to be true. We all know, and if you don't think it's true, just hold your breath. Everybody just hold your breath for a second. Take a deep breath. Hold your breath. Now hold it for 5 minutes. You just let it out. You didn't. If you hold your breath, try to hold your breath for 5 minutes, and you'll know that it's true. Amen? You have to have, did you just now let it out? Did you? You were really trying, weren't you? You're going. You held it for like 22 seconds. So you have to have the breath. Did you realize as you were singing this morning that as you were singing, and wasn't that beautiful how the praises of God filled his temple? And as you were singing this morning, did you realize that very breath that you were using to pass over those vocal cords to lift your voice to God was given to you by him? He did that. He put it inside of you. And without that breath that he created inside of you, you couldn't live one more second. Just like that. If he took his breath back, we are done physically. Amen? You have to have the breath of God. I have to have that breath in order to give you this message that I'm giving you today. For you to respond to me, everybody say amen. Amen. That's the breath of God. And that's the breath of God coming through you to say, so be it. That's what amen means. It means so be it. He is the one true living God. Say amen. Amen. He will never fail me. Say amen. Amen. He will never let me down. Say amen. Amen. So be it. So it's the breath of God coming out of you to declare his glory, to declare his goodness, to declare what he, who he is and what he will do, what he has done, what he is doing right now, what he's going to do in the future. It's the breath of God in your lungs. So the same is true spiritually. John 14:17 says he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in with you now and later will be in you. Amen? This is a powerful scripture. He's talking to those around him at that moment, and he's saying he's with you right now. He's with you right now. Just like this earthen vessel, right? He's with you right now, but later he will be in you. And we all know what happened just a short time later. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. John 20:22, Jesus walked through the walls of the room that they were in without opening a door, without doing anything. After his resurrection, he walked through the walls, and it says this. It says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What did he do? What did that say? He breathed on them. Isn't that powerful? He gave us this breath. That's how we are living beings, because he breathed into our nostrils and we became a living being. And then Jesus came through after his death and resurrection. He came and breathed on them again. Oh, this is so important for what I'm about to show you. Remember this, because it's going to be powerful when you see it in just a second. So how did the Holy Spirit come upon them? Acts 2, 1 through 3 says, "And on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them." Can I tell you that we must have the Spirit of God in us in order to survive spiritually? We must have the breath of God in us in order to survive spiritually. We cannot survive one more second without His Spirit. He has to be in us. We have to be breathing Him in and out. Take a deep breath in. Now let it out. Do it again. Let it out. Let's do it one more time. Breathe in deep. That's His breath. And the same thing spiritually. So I want you to do something. I want you to close your eyes. Holy Spirit, breathe through us. Holy Spirit, breathe through us. Come on, put your hand over your heart. Say, "Holy Spirit, breathe through me. Breathe through me. Use me. Speak through me." I want to show you something. Watch this. Ezekiel 37:9. Watch this scripture. You've heard it many times before, but I hope today that you see what the Lord is doing here. It says, "Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the," say it, "winds." Did you see that? Speak. How do you speak? You speak by the breath, the air that God gave you, coming over those vocal cords and out of your mouth. You're blowing the breath of God out of you. And he's telling Ezekiel, speak a what? A prophetic message. Do you know what a prophetic message is? It's for something in the future. It's a message for the future. And I'm going to show you how this message in Ezekiel was for us here today. Okay? It's a message for the future. And he says, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says." Watch what he says. "Come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again." Oh, did you see it? Speak a prophetic message and say, "Come, O breath from the four winds, from the Spirit of God, and breathe into these dead bodies that they may live again." I want you to hold on to this. Tuck it away. Everybody just tuck that away for a second, okay? Because that scripture, when I get to fire, is going to just come alive to you, okay? Watch this. Job said this. He said in Job 27:3, he said, "As long as I live, while I have breath, the breath from God, my lips will speak no evil and my tongue will speak no lies." Job was making a declaration here. As long as I live, while I have the breath of God in my lungs, I will speak no evil. My tongue will speak no lies. Psalm 150, verse 6. Everybody knows this scripture. Let everything that has breath. I said, let everything that has breath. I said, let everything that has breath. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. What should we be doing with the breath that God gives us? Praise the Lord. Praise Him when you wake up in the morning. Praise Him when you're going throughout your day. Praise Him when you lay down at night. Praise Him when the times are good. And praise Him when they're not. Praise Him no matter what's happening. In this world, you will have many tribulations and trials. But Jesus said, "But be of good cheer, take heart, for I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. With everything that's in you, praise the Lord. I don't know if you've been like me over the years, but I haven't always done that. I remember a time, many times in my life, where I am in a tribulation or a trial, and I forget who I am for a second. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I forget whose I am for a second. I forget whose breath is inside of me. I forget who gave me this breath. And I'd allow words to come out. I would use the breath that God gave me to speak words that were not praising him and not glorifying to him. I know I'm not the only one. I know we've all done it. But God is raising up a church that says, I refuse to live that way any longer. I refuse to take one more step without understanding whose I am. I refuse to take one more breath or let one more breath out of my mouth without praising God. This is probably me. I don't know. We're just gonna fix it here. Hold on. All right. Nope, that's not fixing it. That's all right. Pay no attention to that noise, all right? Let me go on to the fourth one. The fourth one is fire. Did you know that our bodies were created to burn from the inside out? Did you know that? Our bodies were created to burn from the inside out. According to scientific medical studies, every cell in our body produces heat as it burns up energy. It's called thermal regulation. It's actually how our bodies keep the heat. I mean, I don't know if you understand this, but you're literally a furnace. Some of us more than others are literally a furnace. Anybody know somebody that's really a furnace? Like, man, you guys know it because we've talked about my house. And in my house, in the winter, we will keep my house at 62 degrees, praise the Lord. 62 degrees, yes, sir. Amen. That is God's temperature right there. At least for me it is. It's God's temperature for me. However, what happens is, I mean, 98.6 degrees is hot. You know that? It's hot. If your hands, it's the interesting thing about this is your body can be 98.6 degrees, but your surface of your hands can be room temperature. So when I grab something that's room temperature like this, it just feels like nothing almost, right? But if it's a little colder than room temperature, which is 72 degrees, it feels a little cool. If it's a little hotter, it feels hot. If you grab something that's 98.6 degrees with your hands, it feels hot, okay? So that is why we need to understand that our bodies are created to produce this heat. You actually have fire inside of you physically. Isn't that exciting? Okay, maybe not. If your cells stop producing heat for even 1 second, you would die. If they stop producing heat, your heart, your organs have to have this temperature in order to survive. Okay, you guys know it's called hypothermia. If your body gets down below a certain temperature, everything shuts down, okay? So the same can be said spiritually. Did you know that? Let me show you. Luke 12:49 says, I have come, Jesus speaking, I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. Luke 12:49, watch this. In the English Standard Version, says it this way. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and I would that it was already kindled. This is so powerful. What is he talking about? What kind of earth? I came to cast fire, and that word on is the same one that was in the King James with your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. It's the same thing. So he said, I came to cast fire in earth, and I wish it were already kindled. He is not talking about a physical fire. This is not a scripture where Jesus is saying, I came to bring fire to destroy the world. We know that's going to happen when God's wrath is poured out, but he's not talking about the wrath of God. He's talking about the most important thing we could ever have in our lives, and it's the Spirit of God. He came to cast fire in earth. And he says, I wish it were already burning. This word earth is the exact same word, gi, soil. Look at Acts 2:3. Acts 2:3 says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. When the Holy Spirit came into that room, it said he came with the sound of a mighty windstorm. All right? He came with the sound of a mighty windstorm, but when he appeared or settled on them, he settled like fire. He came with the wind. The Spirit of God came with the wind, and he settled like fire. And he didn't just settle on them, he settled in them. The fire of God in us. We have to have the Spirit of God in us. We have to have the fire of God. I want to show you. So remember I told you to tuck away that scripture, that prophetic scripture, pull it back out. Okay? In Ezekiel, that prophetic message that Ezekiel, that the Lord told him to speak, watch this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I want to start by saying this Laodicean church is the last of the seven churches that Jesus writes a letter to. It's the last church that he speaks to. All seven churches represent the church. All seven of them. But the Laodicean church in particular represents the last church. The Bible tells us this. This is going to be what the church looks like on the day that Jesus returns in the clouds. Can I tell you he's coming? Jesus is coming soon. Oh, come on, y'all. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. I believe with all of my heart it could be any day now. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to show you on the 31st of August, I'm going to be here preaching a message. If the rapture hasn't taken place, I'm going to be here preaching a message, and I'm going to show you that it could be this year. This year. Okay? And please, don't scoff at this. Come and listen to what the Lord has given me to say to you. Because I am at this place in my life right now, what the Lord is saying to me right now, I'm at this place. I don't care what human beings think about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care if they laugh at me, if they scoff at me. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord that Jesus is coming soon. Soon. You say, well, no man knows, I'm not going to get into this message, but you say that no man knows the day nor the hour. Listen, the enemy has tricked the church and the pendulum to swing the other way. The church used to say, Jesus is coming soon. The early church said it. I mean, Paul said it over and over and over again. They laughed at him. They ran him out of cities. He would say it, Jesus is coming soon. Get right with God. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we have swung the other way. We don't talk about it because we're afraid somebody's going to say something to us about it. But can I tell you, we're right there. Jesus is right there on the doorstep. He's about to come back. The clouds are going to split, and Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take